All right. Reading from chapter 1, verse 6. Haggai, prophet, towards the end of the Old Testament, chapter 1, verse 6. These messages that the prophets gave, largely to Israel, to Judah, to rebuild the temple. They had been in captivity for 70 years. They had been conquered and taken into exile, and now they've returned. They've come back. And the heathen king sent them back. That's what's so amazing about this story. And then he even funded the rebuilding of the temple. The Lord knows how to turn things completely around. Amen. But Haggai is addressing the people of Judah because they've gotten off track a little bit. And in verse 6, let's read together. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Now, he's describing their current situation. What he's trying to get their attention about is, You've gotten off track. You're taking care of your own situation or trying to take care of your own situation, but you're neglecting the things of God. And the not enough could be applied to every one of the circumstances that Haggai describes here as the Lord is telling him to write. You've sown much, but you don't have enough. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you don't have enough. You put on clothes, but you don't have enough. You earn wages, but you don't have enough. It's like putting it in a bag that's full of holes, and it just dribbles out, wasted. And so this statement, if you have your Bibles open, is bracketed by two commands. In verse 5, consider your ways. In verse 7, consider your ways. A very important command, a very necessary aspect as we walk with the Lord, because nothing is automatic. Nothing is just going to fall into place because we wish it would happen that way. No, consider how it needs to go and how you want it to turn out. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. We can go all the way back to Moses' time in Egypt and remember that the Nile River being such a flow that would irrigate the land and its soil be quite rich and it be basically essential for all of farming and production and agriculture. But for the Israelites, the Nile became a graveyard. Pharaoh said that the people of Israel were more and mightier, becoming more and mightier than them. And that's the blessing of the Lord. So he set taskmasters over them, and they were responsible. They were forced to build the treasure cities that perhaps may exist even yet in Egypt. But the more they were afflicted, this is what's so amazing about God's plan. The more the people of Israel were afflicted, the more they multiplied and grew. Backfired on the devil. The Lord knows how to turn those things around. So they served in harshness and hard bondage. The midwives were told to kill the sons and keep the daughters alive. But they saw that the Hebrew women were not like Egyptian women. They're more lively. The description there in Exodus is kind of amusing. If it wasn't such a tragic situation where the baby boys were killed and the daughters were kept alive. But Pharaoh commanded then, every son that is born cast into the river. And so the story of Moses unfolds here as that poor mother who kept him hidden for 3 months and realized can't hide that baby any longer. She made a basket, and she lined it and so on, tried to make it as comfortable as possible, knowing that this was going to be his casket. And she placed her little three-month-old baby in that basket and shoved it out into the current. Fortunately, it got caught in the reeds in an area that Pharaoh's daughter came to enjoy the river. And we know how the story would turn out from there. But it's amazing to think of the lack of mercy. The mercy was not enough for the other sons. Moses was a lone example that was rescued from the river. Not enough mercy for all the others. And the devil operates that way. It may seem as though what he is offering, what he is extending, what he's holding forth would be exactly what you need, what you want to participate in, what you want to be a part of. But it's not going to be enough. It's never enough. The devil holds it out as a prime advertisement man. He could be the head of Fifth Avenue in terms of how he could make things look so appealing, so attractive, so wonderful. But it's never enough. Moses and Aaron were adults now. They grew up. And I'm skipping over a big part of the story to get to this part, where Moses and Aaron made the request to go and sacrifice. Pharaoh replied, you just want to be idle. You just want to go and offer sacrifice because you're idle. You don't have enough work to do. Here's what's going to happen. No straw is going to be provided for you as you make bricks. And you're just going to have to go and gather as best you can. But the same quota is going to be required. We're not going to let up on that. We're not going to make it easier for you. You are just idle. You have too much idle time. So, not enough straw. And it made the work even harder. It was difficult. They didn't have enough freedom to worship. Let us go and worship. And Pharaoh, of course, would reply, no. And the plagues then would be brought upon the people of Egypt. Not enough freedom to worship. However, Pharaoh did offer compromises. Who deceitfully offers compromises? Who deceitfully says it's okay to do this, it's okay to do that? Oh, yes, the devil with his compromises. And Pharaoh was right in there as well. He told them, you can sacrifice right here. You don't have to go. Then he said, you can go, but don't go very far. Stay close. I want you to come right back. Then his third offer and the compromise that he held forth was, only the men can go. You leave your families behind. And then finally he said, okay, your families can go, but leave your flocks behind. Because he knew what the sacrifices involved. He knew it required lambs. And the sacrifices would be offered, including them. So leave your flocks behind. I like Moses' answer. And the Lord, of course, giving him direction. In Exodus 10 and 26, he let them know, our cattle also shall go with us, and there shall not an hoof be left behind. He's being very thorough. He's being very, very straightforward here in saying, not one hoof is going to be left. All of our flocks are going to go. All of our herds are going to go. All of our families are going to go. All of our men are going to go. And Pharaoh, of course, declaring, no, that's not going to happen. But we understand how God brought it about. Amen. You see, their priority and their purpose was to worship God. They wanted to serve him. They wanted to lift him up. But the Pharaoh was saying, no, you don't have enough time. You don't have enough opportunity. You don't have enough freedom. I'm going to make sure you are kept in bondage. And oh, thank God, the Lord had a plan of deliverance. Amen. That they would be brought into the place where God would give just enough for them to be able to continue on in the place that God had in mind for them. Divine deliverance is such a wonderful thing. Divine deliverance is something that cannot be replicated by anything or anyone, any plan or any organization, any philosophy or any religion. Thank God for divine deliverance that comes into our heart, comes into our lives, comes into our homes, and brings about a change that nothing else could produce. But the power of the name of Jesus Christ in the waters of baptism and the infilling of his wonderful spirit, thank God the Lord knows how to bring about deliverance. He displayed his power over the elements with the plagues, over the events, over the experiences, all of those situations that came to them. He led the people of Israel with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Thank God, so that they could go by day and by night. The Lord wants you to keep moving forward. The Lord wants you to keep advancing. The Lord wants you to keep looking upon him and knowing that his presence will be there with you. I like 2 Corinthians 1 and 10 and how there was a parallel of what the Lord was giving to them and what happens to us today. He delivered us from so great a death, and that was what was happening in Egypt. And he doth deliver because he moves us along. He has not forsaken us. He has not moved away from us. Thank God that deliverance continues on, and he will yet deliver us. No matter what we face, no matter what we come up against, no matter what the devil tries to bring against us, thank God there will be deliverance until the day we hear the trumpet sound, until the day we hear that shout, until the day the voice of the Lord comes forth. Praise God. And the dead in Christ rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. The Red Sea parted. They marched across on dry ground. The Red Sea came back together and drowned the pursuing army that came after them from Egypt. The waters of Marah were bitter. They had a lack of water, not enough water for 3 days. They came to these waters that they called Marah because it was bitter. But Moses was told by the Lord what to do. He cast a tree into the waters, and the waters were made sweet. Thank God. This situation is a parallel to what our lives often are. Bitter, disappointing, frustrating, not being fulfilled. But thank God there was a tree on Calvary where hung one who gave himself for our sins. Amen. And we are washed in his blood and cleansed by his name and filled with his spirit. Thank God that he knows how to make our experiences turn out. There is enough. They journeyed on to Elim, a place that had 12 wells of water. Twice they got water from a rock. The Lord knew how to give just enough. The manna that rained down from heaven, bread raining from heaven for them. Praise God. They were to gather enough for each day. If they gathered more, we know what happened. It spoiled. And then on the Sabbath, they were to gather enough, or the Friday before the Sabbath, they were to gather enough for both days. And they gathered it every morning. Every morning they had a reminder of the miracle presence of God. Every morning as they gathered that food, they recognized, we're not in Egypt anymore. We're going to a place that the Lord has promised. There's something we're going to experience far greater. Every morning God is faithful. Every morning God is with us. Praise God. Amen. The Lord told them, I've led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out. Your sandals have not worn out. Thank God they lasted just enough to bring them into the place where there was going to be more than enough. Oh, thank God the Lord knows how to move us into those realms where there is more than enough. A land flowing with milk and honey. Joshua and Caleb and 10 others were sent into the land to look it over, to see what it was like. They came back with the report. We came into the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. They had clusters of grapes, of pomegranates, of figs, and they understood this is the abundance that is more than enough of what the Lord has in store for us. They had the report, we are well able to go into the land and conquer it. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. But there were those who were backing up. There were those who were remembering Egypt, not the graveyard of the Nile, not the place where they threw their baby boys into that water. They didn't remember the taskmasters. They didn't remember the long hours and day after day that they toiled and tried to build those cities and monuments to the pharaohs and so on. They remembered the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlics, and they refused the cucumbers, or rather the figs and the grapes and the pomegranates that was evidence of the land flowing with milk and honey. Caleb and Joshua begged them, don't rebel against the Lord. Don't fear the people of the land. They're going to be bread for us. We're going to eat their lunch. Praise God. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Praise God. God is more than enough. Oh, yes. And he invites us to step into that realm where there is more than enough. He invites us to continue on into that realm where he will provide more than enough. Unfortunately, they rebelled. The 40 days that they spent in the land became 40 years that they wandered in the wilderness. We're familiar with that story. But oh, thank God, the Lord did not give up on them. The Lord did not say, okay, that's it. I'm done with you. No, they continued on trying to do the work of the Lord. When he directed them to build a tabernacle because the Lord wanted to dwell among them, he gave them the plan. He gave them the pattern. They had to follow it exactly, and thank God they did. Amen. Because the Lord wanted to be with them. The Lord wanted to spend time with them and for them to recognize his presence can go on. When the pillar of cloud would vanish, when the pillar of fire would be extinguished, he would still be with them. Amen. See, God doesn't have to work in sensational ways all the time. He can do a sensational work. He can do a miraculous work. But it's not going to be that way all the time. There's going to be that walk of faith. There's going to be that walk of obedience. There's going to be that recognition. These are the principles of God, and that's what I've got to follow, whether I feel like it or not. And so, the plan and the pattern for the tabernacle. But oh, to Israel's credit, they gave willingly. Amen. Thank the Lord. They willingly offered their sacrifices because they wanted to have the tabernacle built. The Bible says their hearts were stirred up. And I like Exodus 36 and 5. The report comes to Moses saying, the people bring much more than enough. They're just overdoing it. It's more than enough. for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. Thank God that they responded with an attitude of gratitude and recognizing the Lord has brought us out. The Lord has brought us to deliverance. And now it's our turn to respond. And they gave willingly, and the report was they gave more than enough. Amen. Thank God for your giving. Thank God for your faithfulness. Amen. But you know, it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle that sometimes people struggle with recognizing the Lord is going to give back. And when they give their 10%, they feel like they're giving 90%. And oh my, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Test and prove that the Lord will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that you won't even be able to contain it. Praise God. And oh, thank the Lord for the goodness that he's provided. I'm amazed to read the story of Letourneau and how he moved into the earth-moving machinery and built Letourneau University and so on, and how he and his wife determined, we're going to give 90%, and we'll just live on the 10%. And the Lord blessed that. Amen. A man named James Cash, not related to Johnny, he likewise started in the retail business. And the more he was blessed, the more that he gave until finally it was the other way around. The 10% is what he and his wife lived on. And the 90% is what he gave to the work of the Lord. Amen. His full name is James Cash Penny, otherwise known as J.C. Penny. These are real people I'm talking about. Now I'm not making this up. Praise God. Because the Lord knows how to give more than enough. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord and the blessings of God and what he would provide and how he would minister. Praise God. But now we come to Haggai and his command to consider your ways. You've sown much, but you don't have enough. You eat, but you don't have enough. You drink, but you don't have enough. Oh, my. Satan knows how to serve up substitutes. Satan knows how to hold forth that which is not going to satisfy, not going to fulfill, not going to deliver, not going to be what you need. But he knows how to make it so attractive and appear so fulfilling. And almost look as though you can't do without. But oh, hear what the Word of God says. Consider your ways. Amen. Man's efforts are not enough. All the way back in the garden, those aprons of fig leaves were definitely not enough. Not enough. The law can't make anyone righteous. Acts chapter 10 talks about a man named Cornelius who was a captain in the Roman army. He was very good, a good man, but not good enough. See, it's God who's got to make that assessment. It's God who's got to make that evaluation. It's God who's got to be the one who will say, this is what I have for you. What you have is not enough. You've got to keep reaching. You've got to keep desiring. You've got to keep having faith to believe for more than enough. Amen. 2 Corinthians 3 and 5 lets us know we are not sufficient of ourselves. Ought not to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. That's where our sufficiency comes from. He that overcometh, overcometh in the name of the Lord. Not my name, not your name, not the name of Sterling Pentecostal Church or United Pentecostal Church International. We thank God for those organizations, but it's the name of the Lord. It's the name of the Lord that we overcome. Praise God. That we find healing. That we find salvation. That we find deliverance. Thank God. He is our sufficiency. Divine ability is more than enough. Praise God. Now, just a little Greek lesson. I'm not a Greek scholar. I found this somewhere else. Sufficient and sufficiency in the Greek mean competent, means ample, it means fit and ability. In other words, enough to meet the needs. That's the English definition in Webster's 7th or whatever it is. Enough to meet the needs of a situation or a proposed end. Praise God. Cornelius was not enough. He needed to move into the realm where God would provide more than enough. Praise God. By man's standards, by man's measurement, oh, he's a good guy. And of all things, a captain in the Roman army that was known for its cruelty, known for its conquering, known for just how full of debauchery and wickedness they may have been. But he was a good man. And the angel told him, send for the preacher. Praise God. And so he dispatched a soldier and a couple of servants, and they went to the next town. It wasn't just go down the street and find Peter. He's down there, and he's got time in his hands. He's a preacher. He just works one day a week. Just bring him over, and he'll tell you. No, they had to go to another town. They had to seek him out. And Peter is on the rooftop praying. And God shows him a vision. God's trying to communicate to him. God's trying to let him know the next step of great revival that's going to break forth. And Peter's struggling. He's trying to understand, what does this mean anyway? And finally, the Spirit speaks to him and said, there's three men down there seeking you. Go with them and don't doubt. Well, that's easier said than done for Peter. Easier said than done for you. Quit smirking. Lots of doubts sometimes that we struggle with. He came down and he looked at them, and one of them's a Roman soldier. Oh, no. But they hear the message. Our master was praying. An angel appeared. He said to send for you, and you come with us. So Peter got six others to go with him. So here they go. Back to Caesarea. And when they arrive, Cornelius again recounts the story. Praise God. And Peter's doubts begin to melt away. I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Oh, thank God that that's truth in the word of the Lord. Because I don't have a drop of Hebrew blood in me, and neither do you. And thank God the Lord opened the doors to everybody. Thank God it happens to those from the Philippines. Amen. From those from Vermont, for crying out loud. Thank God the Lord knows how to open the door to everybody and do the work that God desires in our hearts and in our lives. Thank God the Lord knows how to get a hold of hearts and lives, no matter what they've been raised. If they've been a Buddhist, God knows how to bring his power in their life and make a difference. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Brother Mike mentioned Brother Lou, who is a police chief in Bethel, and he was having doubts about the things of God. Raised a Buddhist from Taiwan, and he gave this challenge from the Lord. All right, God, if you're real, let somebody come to Bethel and speak in my language to me about Jesus Christ. And he thought that shut the door. That took care of it. Let's see what God's going to do. Little did he know, but the missionary Tom Bracken would come to town the next week and speak to him, thank God, in Chinese about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And oh, thank the Lord. Brother Lou obeyed the word of God. Brother Lou received the word of God. And he is a pastor now, preaching the truth out in Tuxok Bay. Thank God. Cornelius was a man who was willing to leave behind what was not enough and to move into what was more than enough as he was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ after he received the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. Praise God. Cornelius, being a conqueror in the Roman army, would hear many different languages, travel to many different lands. But now here he is, raising his hands before the Lord, praise God, and receiving the Holy Ghost. How do I know they did that? Because Peter said they received the Holy Ghost as well as we. just like we did. They received it. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord for God being able to minister more than enough. Amen. More than enough for spiritual warfare. You can't step back from that now. You can't shirk that. You can't let the devil scare you. If anything, we've got to step forward into spiritual warfare even more, because the armor has been provided. And the Lord said, you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, having done all, stand. Thank God for that power and the blessing of the Lord that can come forth in our lives, because there is help, there is healing, there is strength that the Lord will provide. Paul understood it. His grace is sufficient. His grace is what I need. His grace is going to be more than enough. Hallelujah. And the power of God is going to rest upon me. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for that power and that blessing. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. I wish I'd have thought of this and I was teaching you about grace. But here we'll add grace some more. 2 Corinthians 9 and 8. God is able. Oh, I love that. I love the ability that he imparts. I love the truth that he is able to provide no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the challenge, no matter what the crisis. Thank God, God is able to make all grace abound. There's going to be abundance. There's going to be more than enough. There's going to be all that you need. And it's going to abound toward you. That you... Thank God. Put yourself in the you. Put yourself in the verse, because that's what God wants you to do today. To understand there's more than enough that you can have in the blessings of the Lord. You always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Oh, I wish I had the time to go into that verse a little bit more. Thank God. Grab a hold of it. Understand that's for you. Understand that's your promise. Understand that abound is in there twice, because God wants you to recognize there's going to be more than enough. There's going to be all that you require. There's going to be everything that you need. All grace, all sufficiency, all things. It doesn't matter. There's going to be more than enough. Oh, let's clap our hands to the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord, glory to the Lord. More than enough for a proposed end. Where's that end? The Bible talks about an the end that seems right, or a way that seems right. It looks good. It looks fine. It matches all the criteria of my flesh, but the end thereof is the way of death. See, I can't play. I can't gamble. I can't take a chance on those things. I've got to make sure. I've got to make sure. And if the way is not between the pages of this book, I need to discard it. I've got to make sure I'm walking the way of the Word. Amen. And following on, because there's a proposed end that God has in mind. And that's the promised land, that heavenly realm. Heaven is our hope. There's a river of life. There's the tree of life. There's eternal life. Notice the emphasis on life. That's what God wants you to have. That's what God wants you to experience. That's what God wants you to know. Not the eternal death, not the eternal damnation. That's the devil's place. That's made for the devil and his angels, not for you. Don't let him deceive you. Don't let him trick you. Don't let him bring you down to condemnation. Move into the realm of more than enough. Praise God. And we'll enter that realm of no tears, no death, no sorrow, No crying. Hallelujah. No sin. No Satan. Praise God. In that realm of worship forever. Forever. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. He is more than enough. And that's why the scripture is telling us today, consider your way. Consider it. Because that's the important thing. Make sure you're in the way that Jesus declared. Amen. Now, another portion of scripture, the Lord says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. See, we've got to understand there's inadequacy where we are, and there's more than enough where he is. There's wickedness and unrighteousness where we are, and there's cleansing and deliverance and salvation where he is. That's why he said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, he wants us to move higher, not in the mully grubs of this life, but into the joy of his presence, the power of his presence, the blessing that he desires to bring forth. Praise God. In that passage in Isaiah 55, he says, let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous forsake his thoughts. Move into what I have for you. Amen. And thank God that is a possibility. And then, oh, how wonderful. In that passage, he says, I will abundantly pardon. More than enough. And that's what he desires to give. Thank the Lord. Stand with me, please. There are times, no doubt, for every one of us, situations that we come up against that we feel very acutely, very strongly. I don't know how I'm going to get through this. I don't know what the outcome's going to be. God, where are you? God, what's happening? God, what's going on? And our faith is tried, tested. The Lord's not playing games. The Lord's not just treating you like a pawn on a chessboard. You're expendable, doesn't matter. No. No, he wants your faith stronger. He wants your faith greater. He wants your testimony to be more complete. Because the more battles you come through, the more victories you win, the more you're going to be able to tell somebody else. Prayer works. God saves. Jesus heals. Praise God. And there's a hurting world that needs to hear that. A world that has way more problems than it has answers. A world that has tried many different ways and come to dead ends. Back up, try another way. And along the way, they've become wounded, become hurt. And some of those don't heal up so well because they haven't been in touch with the healer. But oh, there's a God who offers more than enough. A God who waits to give you more than enough. His blessings, his power, his love, his mercy, his forgiveness. Oh, my goodness. There are people that struggle with trying to forgive themselves. and his forgiveness. So wonderful. So wonderful. Praise God. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to live. That's where I want to continue. More than enough, Lord. More than enough. Because I've already experienced barely enough. I've already experienced not enough. I don't want to live there. I don't want to continue there. No, Lord, I want to walk in your presence. I want to walk in your word. I want to know more than enough. Could you close your eyes for just a moment? I want us to just close our eyes and think about the things that God would desire to make available to you as he promises more than enough. More than enough. It's not just a saying. It's a reality that God wants you to walk in. That God wants you to experience just like so many others who have successfully and victoriously walked in more than enough. It's not a fairy tale. It's not a legend. Not a fable. It's faith in operation that can bring about the changes that God wants to bring in your life. So let me ask you, as your eyes are closed now, and you're thinking about the things of God, not anything else. Let me ask you, do you want to experience more than enough? Are you hungry for more than enough? Are you dissatisfied with not enough or barely enough and ready to make a change? Let me assure you, God is ready and waiting to give you more than enough right here, right now. You don't have to wait. You don't have to prolong. Right here, God can do that work. Praise God. Open your eyes now, if you would, please. Oh, my, I feel the presence of God in such a strong way here now. Because God is reaching. God is desiring. Let me show you, I can give you more than enough. Let me help you. I can provide more than enough. Praise God. Praise God. And that's the blessing that he wants us to receive today. Could you come to the front here? And let's just worship him, because he has given more than enough many, many times. My mind goes to many, many times when I was hurting and I needed the Lord to step in. I needed the Lord to show himself and his power. And just a simple prayer and just a simple recognition of how great God is. And he showed me, I'm more than enough for you, Mitch. I'm more than enough. I'm so thankful his hand touched me. I'm so thankful his voice called me. Can we give praise to the Lord together right now? Can we worship God together?